This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and nearly 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available as a podcast on your smartphone. Simply go to your podcast app and search for DC 37 State of the Union. There are now more ways to stay in touch with DC 37. You can check out our website, www.dc37.net. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Call our hotline, 212-815-7555, to keep abreast of DC 37 activities. And if you have any comments about our show, please drop us a line at State of the Union, that's one word, at dc37.net. Tonight, we welcome back one of our great leaders on the national scene, AFSCME Secretary Treasurer Alissa McBride, who's with us in the studio. You were last on the show a few months ago. Welcome back.
Thank you, Chris. Really glad to be here.
You have been on the road. I wanted to take this show to talk a little bit about the national perspective, what's happening in terms of labor. Also, this is the last show before the elections, so we'll talk about the elections that are coming up. You have, here in New York, we sometimes have a different view of what's happening in terms of this is a labor town. Unions have a big presence here, and sometimes I think we get away from the fact that we're not as in touch with what's happening in the rest of the country to labor and working folks. It's great to have you here to help, catch us up and bring us up to speed on what you have seen in your travels. And you do a lot of traveling.
Especially this month and last month. Yeah, it's a great time to be on the road supporting AFSCME members and activists who are really fighting the same kind of fights that I know DC 37 members and activists are fighting right here in New York. It is truly a union town here, but the challenges that working families are facing, including having to really up our game in terms of internal organizing since the Janus decision, are affecting AFSCME members and public service workers everywhere in our country. And I think DC 37 members might especially appreciate the place I started on the current round of travel, which is California. I was with members of AFSCME Local 3299, which is workers at the University of California. So it's the flagship statewide system, very much like SUNY and CUNY, really incredibly powerful institution in the state of California. And AFSCME members are in the lowest paid jobs in the University of California system. And over the last 10, 15 years, the gap between the standards and pay for the highest paid UC workers and AFSCME members in the lowest paid jobs has really gotten even bigger. And so our local has done an incredible amount of research on what's been happening in terms of especially racial and gender equity in the UC system and the lack thereof. So members of AFSCME in the 3299 group are 79% people of color. And just like AFSCME all over the country, majority women. And the gap between pay for top administrative folks, salaries at the top of the UC system, and their salaries grew by 64%. Meanwhile, pay and benefits for folks in AFSCME jobs has been declining in terms of the standard of living. And so they have been out on strike, and they are really in a fight for a contract, but also to really reduce the inequities in the system and bring up their standard of living so they're not in a fight to just survive in the jobs that they have for the University of California.
Now, how long is that? I mean, is that a strike that is going to take place for a certain amount of time?
They were on strike last week for 3 days. And this was a strike of patient care workers at the University of California Medical centers, as well as folks who work for the campuses in dining services, in groundskeeping, in other service and maintenance jobs. And so I was in San Francisco. AFSCME President Lee Saunders was in Los Angeles, and we were joining the leaders of Local 3299 in sending a message to the University of California that they need to respect and really compensate fairly the folks who do the frontline work of the university. And a big issue for them is stopping outsourcing, because what they're seeing there is that UC has steadily outsourced the lowest wage jobs, which is turning living wage jobs in the state of California into poverty jobs. And that's not good for anybody. You got to wonder what is going on with UC administration. Why would they want to have their own employees living in poverty, struggling to make ends meet, unable to take care of their own families? It just doesn't make any sense. But so there's a lot of greed in that system.
This is within the context of contract negotiations, I
yes.
assume?
Okay. Yep. They've been in a contract fight for about a year.
That's a very active local. I know the leaders of that local are very very fiery, and it's a new generation of leadership that's there.
Yep.
And so that's an example of a fight that's going on the West Coast.
Yeah. And they remind me of DC 37 because they are the best at chanting, maybe second only to DC 37 folks. They know how to work a bullhorn. So we were taking over intersections in downtown San Francisco, and there was just nothing that the administration or the cops could do because we owned that intersection for the time that we were out there. So they are strong and they are committed, and they really want to stop this downward slide in the standard of living. And even their own governor has said, hey, UC, you ought to be treating folks fairly and respectfully and compensating them so they're not dependent on state and federal government programs systems just to make ends meet. And yet the UC system has been really stubbornly committed to increasing their own top administrators' pay and impoverishing their own frontline employees. So it was great to stand with them in that fight. They're a fierce bunch, and
Where else have you been? You were also in. I want to talk about this thing that happened in Iowa.
Yeah,
because this is an example of the government, the state government, trying to rig the deck, mark the cards, make it as difficult as possible for a union to exist in the state. And tell us a little bit about what happened recently in the state of Iowa, because we had Danny Homan, who is the head of Council 61, just a couple of weeks ago, talking about this fight and the enormity of the challenge. And since then, there's been a result.
Yeah. So some of your listeners probably know, if you've had Danny on, that in Iowa, they've been right to work for decades.
Right.
And they've built a strong union despite that, which has been very inspiring for AFSCME leaders and members across the country who were facing the change under the Janus decision, that we can still have a powerful union even when we've got to be in a full-time, all-the-time organizing mode, reminding people that they've got to stick with their union and join the union even when it's voluntary. That's been true for decades in Iowa. But what changed a year and a half ago in I think January or February of 2017, is that when a far-right Republican administration took control of both the governor and both houses of the state legislature, they went after not just workers' rights, but women's rights, civil rights, voting rights, reproductive rights. They really tried to roll back the clock in the state of Iowa. And what they did to public sector unions is eliminated most collective bargaining rights. So they have very little collective bargaining rights left. They can negotiate for wages up to the cost of living. And that's it.
That's it.
That's it. And so no grievance procedure, no just cause, no terms and conditions of employment. You know, all the things that I know that DC 37 members appreciate in their contracts are not subjects of bargaining anymore in Iowa. And they also said that unions would have to be recertified, that workers would have to vote to recertify their unions in the public sector every 2 years before the contract, this tiny little contract that takes about a page to contain, in order to negotiate. And not only would they have to do it every 2 years, not only is the cost of this election on the union, but everyone who doesn't vote counts as a no vote.
Right.
So basically,
right.
if you don't show up, the boss casts your vote and the boss votes no for you. So this was a huge, I mean, can you imagine an elected official running for office on those terms that
right.
anyone who doesn't show up votes
no.
for your opponent?
Yeah. <That's> right.
right.
No, it's a huge,
it's
huge
crazy.
Weight
yeah.
that they had on their backs.
Exactly. But just like in Missouri, which had a vote against right to work not long ago, when workers have a chance to say, do you want a voice on the job, yes or no, the overwhelming majority tend to say yes, because
right.
it's kind of a no-brainer. You want a seat at the table? Do you want a voice on the job? And so in Iowa, despite this incredible rigged election, as you said, 80% of eligible voters turned out and voted yes to have a union on the job, to have a voice on the job. And that's in a universe of 20,000 state and city and county employees in the state of Iowa that all had to proactively either get online or make a phone call in order to vote about whether to have representation from a union. And so that was a huge victory, I would say, not just for AFSCME in Iowa, for our union, but also for the concept of democracy
right.
in the workplace and a voice on the job. When people have a choice to have it or not, they say yes.
If you had any question about how we feel, Governor, this is how
exactly.
we feel. Yeah, I mean, that's it is when Danny explained what the rules of that game were, that in fact they had taken away all these things that you could talk about as a union, and then they said, we're going to make it super hard for you to be able to continue as a union. And then I saw these results last week. I thought, my goodness, that is a statement on where people are and how they and what they feel
yeah.
in the year 2018.
Yeah. And I happened to get to Iowa just in time to help make the last round of phone calls to folks to remind them to vote in that recertification election. And one thing I'll say is that just like I know here in New York City, DC 37, you've had a wonderful Ask Me Strong campaign where leaders and activists in the union have been reaching out one-on-one to talk to members and potential members of the union who might not be knocking on our door every day,
right.
but who need to be in touch with the union and connected to the union. And so similarly in Iowa, this meant that leadership of the union was on the phones calling every single person in the bargaining unit. And in Iowa, despite those many years of living under right to work, they still consider anyone who's not a member is a potential member. It might be a future member. And so we called every single one of them to say, don't forget, you've got till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning to cast your vote. Here's how you do it. And to just touch base with people like that. And folks were very appreciative of the reminder. So that was a great effort on their part.
We're talking with AFSCME Secretary Treasurer Alisa McBride, who is in the studio with us, talking about the national perspective on what's happening both with working folks and with unions. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. If you've got any comments on what you're hearing and you want to drop us a line, stateoftheunion@dc37.net. We'll be right back.
You a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today, 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the DC 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. We're talking this evening with AFSCME Secretary Treasurer Alisa McBride, who is in the studio with us. Welcome back.
Happy to be here.
And let's, we were talking about things that are happening around the country. We talked a little bit about Iowa. I still am amazed by what was accomplished in Iowa. You mentioned that Missouri, I want to talk a little bit about the fact when the people get the opportunity to weigh in, they're saying this is what we want, and that is we want pro-labor folks, we want pro-labor rules.
Mm-hmm.
In Missouri, voters were given a chance, I think that was last year, to decide whether or not they wanted right to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And voters rejected that handily.
You said it. Yep.
And so when people are, this idea that there is an agenda out there that is supported by the people that is anti-union, that is anti-worker, does not reflect, I believe, the American sensibility now where we are, even in these politically divided times.
That's right. And one thing I love about working with AFSCME members and public service workers across the country is that there's a real sense of why it matters to have democracy at work, democracy in our communities, and democracy in the nation. And I think that's what's at stake in these midterms. I mean, I've been using this hashtag on Facebook, and I am on Facebook at AFSCME Alisa, and I encourage AFSCME members to join me there.
And non-AFSCME members.
That's right. But surely anyone from DC 37 who wants to connect with me, that's a great way. AFSCME Alisa on Facebook. But really, these midterms, I was at the Congressional Black Caucus event this year and Reverend Barber spoke and he said, these upcoming elections, America itself is on the ballot. And that really feels true. And no more than in places like Minnesota, where I was also in the last round of travel over the weekend, working with public service workers, AFSCME members who are, you know, AFSCME leaders and activists, they are doing public service for their communities. They're often supporting their sisters and brothers who have challenges on the job through their role as union stewards or leaders. And they're the backbone of voter education and turnout in their communities. And it's just amazing to see how much people give of their time and of their hearts and of their spirits to make sure that folks get their voices heard. And so that's what I was doing in Minnesota, is supporting AFSCME activists and leaders who were getting the vote out. And that's a crucial place to do it.
You know, when Barack Obama was elected the first time, my recollection is that public support for unions was around 42-43%. And then there were, and in the tumultuous times that have happened since 2008, the one thing that I think has been a big plus for the labor movement is that we really have been talking more to members and to communities about who we are and what a union can be. And I think that that's the reason why you now see in 2018 a 62% public favorability for unions. They may not understand the nuances of everything about the labor movement. They may not know that much about the history of the labor movement, or they may be only familiar about the labor history movement. The idea that the number of young people whose grandparents, they remember hearing about their grandparents and the union and what the union did to them. I think there is now a resonance about the ideals of the labor movement that has resulted in this very high favorability rating among the public. What do you think about
it? I think that's true. I mean, I would just say that we are speaking up on behalf of the concerns that working folks have, and who else is doing that? So in Minnesota, one thing that struck me, I was just talking to public service workers in the workplace one morning, and I spoke to a library worker who was not a member of the union, and she was talking about how much it mattered to have affordable health insurance. And in fact, working for the library system in Minnesota as a public employee and as a AFSCME bargaining unit member, her health insurance is either free or close to free. Now, that's because of the strength of collective bargaining and people sticking together and workers having a voice on the job. And that's huge for folks right now. I mean, healthcare is a very challenging issue for a lot of folks. And we've also been part of the fight to win and then protect the Affordable Care Act for all Americans. That's the labor movement. That's who we are. That's what we do.
And the folks who, you know, we got the Affordable Care Act. People told us in 2007, healthcare was the most important issue to them. That issue got addressed, and then other folks came in and tried to dismantle it and to besmirch it. But the values that we put forth in saying healthcare is very important to the people and to our people and to people at large, those values are union values.
Yeah.
And the folks who want to take that away, my point is that they do not have the interests of workers.
Right, that's right. And we stand with elected officials and candidates who stand with us. And so our lens is, if you're with us on the issues, if you're a pro-worker elected official, we are going to be with you. And it's even better when they are us. In Minnesota, I had the pleasure of door knocking for an AFSCME member of our union who is running for state legislature in her suburban district. And it's really great to know that, it's wonderful to have a pro-worker candidate, but it's even better to have a worker candidate.
Are we seeing a lot more of that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think this is the year of more women running for office, more new candidates in general, but also more union members running for office. And that is a great thing. I really want to see more of that. I think that we need to have our voices heard in state legislatures, in city councils, in county offices and school boards, just like we have a voice on the job.
And not to beat this over the head, but we're talking about candidates. People say, well, why are you give Trump more of a chance? I've heard that. I've heard that, in my house. I've heard that at the job. The policies, forget the style. Forget how awful the style has been. And forget the language that has been butchered by the current president of the United States. The policies that he's put forth, if we let Trump be Trump, would be anti-worker, would be anti-labor.
Have been. Yeah. Yep. And that's important. But we are focused on, in our union, we represent community members who work for city and county and state government. And that's what's crucial in this election. Some of it is sending a national message. And I know they're talking about this as a wave election. Will it be a red wave? Will it be a blue wave? I just think we can be the wave. We've got to be a workers' wave. We've got to be a women's wave. We've got to be a wave of, common sense and making it possible for people to have living wages, decent lives, take care of their families and their communities. That's what public service workers and AFSCME members, and I know DC-37 is all about. So I'll just say, I think this is a hugely important election, and I know folks here will be turning out for the elections on November 6th, and if you have friends and family in some of these states where there are really important elections, where there is a lot at stake for working folks, Minnesota, Iowa, Florida, Georgia, Nevada, there's huge Connecticut right next door. You may have friends or family who are in those places, and maybe they're not as tuned in as you are to getting out to vote in every single election. This is the time to pick up the phone, get on Facebook, send out an email to your friends and family. Make sure they're going to show up on November 6th, because this election is a real turning point election for many, many states and for the nation as a whole, especially for working folks.
And we learned the hard way in 2010 that the midterms are, you know, when it's a non-presidential election, people don't show up as much as they should, as often as they should. The turnout is not the same. This may be a different election. If you want to, thank you for the good introduction to the fact that we have volunteers. We're looking for volunteers. Call the union at 212-815-1550 if you want to help get out the vote at this very important time. Now is the time. We've got a couple of days. The election's on Tuesday. You can get out the vote on Monday and Tuesday. Tonight, we're talking with Alisa McBride. She's the secretary treasurer of AFSCME. We've got a couple of more minutes. What's beyond Tuesday? What do we need to be keeping our eye on? What do we need to be? And we've only got a couple of minutes to talk about that, so I'm going to just let you go any way you want on this.
Okay. Well, I think that we need to really start to grow our union. I think that's a huge next step. We've been very involved in connecting with members and potential members in the pre-Janus period and immediately after the Janus decision, which made our whole nation right to work in the public sector. That's a big challenge. We've really risen to the occasion. I would say that I know this is true here in New York City, that public service workers have strengthened their unions in the lead up to Janus. And I salute you for all you've done. And now I think we've really got to turn to our coworkers in non-union workplaces and ask them to join us, because there's internal organizing, which means asking non-members to join in existing union workplaces. But even more important right now is external organizing, which means inviting new groups of workers who don't have a voice on the job, who don't have union representation. And that's 85% of the U.S. workforce right now does not have any union representation, no voice on the job, no ability to sit at the table and win things like affordable health care or even free health care, no ability to win a living wage. So we have to reach out our hands and invite our sisters and brothers to form unions in their workplaces and support them in doing that. And that's one of our most important priorities in AFSCME.
AFSCME Secretary Treasurer Alisa McBride, you have an open invitation to always be on this show and to talk about anything you want to talk about, Madam Secretary Treasurer.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that.
I just want to remind folks again, this Tuesday is Election Day. To volunteer again, I'm going to give you the number 212-815-1550. Just a couple of messages before we go. The Education Fund offers a two-session workshop to teach you to write a resume, electronic resume, and cover letter on Wednesdays, November 7th and 14th at the union headquarters. To apply, visit www.dc37.net. For more details, you can call the Education Fund at 212-815-1700. And if you need help erasing your federal student debt, please attend a workshop on Tuesday, November 20th at 5:30 p.m. at Union Headquarters. You can register at www.dc37.net/student-debt. That's all the time we've got. Thank you again, Alisa McBride. Rudy Orozco is the producer. Andrea Minocchio is the engineer. I'm Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.